May I read to you once again from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. May the Lord open our hearts to appropriate these blessed words that Apostle Peter has uttered by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These two verses were very precious, special to my heart. There is no way I can ever fully describe the preciousness of God's Word, and particularly these two verses. In times of my struggle, in times of my challenges, in times of facing problems and challenges of the ministry and of people whom God has placed under my pastoral care, it is my intention, as I come again to share my testimony, to tell you how important and precious is God's promise to His servant. If the Lord has not given any promise, I will not be here today. If the Lord has not convicted my heart of the greatness of God's promises, I would never be a pastor. Even if I had become a pastor, I would have given up by now. It's the promises of God that makes me what I am today. And it will be the same in time to come. So I'm very glad to talk to you about God's promises, and also how it has molded me and made me what I am today, and how it will continue to stir me to do what God wants me to do, without wavering, without doubting, but pressing on to the mark. There are those in this congregation who have given their lives to serve the Lord, such as those who sang the hymn a while ago from FEBC. And there may be some in this congregation who is moved by the Lord to give his or her life to serve the Lord full time. But cares of life, troubles of life, needs of life may be holding them back. And it is my prayer this sharing will help such a person. Are there deep concerns in your life? Are there needs, troubles, and challenges? You cannot have a better solution than trusting in Christ, simply trusting every day. There's nothing better than that. You and I cannot solve all our problems. Some of our problems are going to linger with us till we close our eyes and leave this place. Nonetheless, we have to live through it. we are not just to live through it, we are to live through it victoriously. After all, the Lord says, we are more than conquerors in Christ or through Christ Jesus. And I don't doubt about it. Whether we have our problems and troubles solved the way we would like it to be or not, still we can be conquerors. We can be victorious. We can be what God wants us to be. And to have such victory in this troublous world, in this tumultuous life, one has to cling on to the promises of God. The anchor of our faith has to be lowered deep so that they will take good hold on the promises of God. So when the storms of life would come, we will not be torn asunder or pulled away. Please look at the text that I read a while ago. Verse 3 tells us what brings God's promises to be a reality in our lives. It's God's divine power. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Take note, it is the divine power that brings all His promises of good things for our spiritual life as well as physical life. Divine power. Can anybody try and describe the power of God? Is Hurricane Katrina or Rita a good measure to describe God's power? They are nothing. God, who created the whole world by His power and wisdom, sustains it all these thousands of years. He fed the creatures that He created. He looked after thousands and thousands, or even millions, who trusted in Him. He not only provided for His own, but even for the wicked, He showed mercy. Has His power weakened? No. In fact, one way the scripture describes the Lord's power is by the statement, there is nothing impossible with Him. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible. So He has a name which we are familiar with, the Almighty God, the Omnipotent. And His omnipotence brings unto us, there's a promise, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I believe the word life is a reference to our physical life on earth. And the word godliness is particularly a reference to our spiritual pursuit as God's people. The Lord looks after all the things that we need. It doesn't say He will give you everything that you want, but what you need that pertain unto life and godliness. And you and I have to believe. Remember last Sunday when I shared with you that I was very unwilling to enter the ministry because I didn't want to go through the same experiences my dad has gone through as a minister of the gospel. There were tough times. There were difficult times early in his ministry. I remember my mom telling me stories of their experiences early in the marital life. One day my mom told me that my dad was called to serve the Lord in Madras. Many of you are familiar with that name. Today it is known as Chennai. And in that city, my dad was called to preach the gospel. And he was pastoring. My dad and mom were just married at that time, less than a year. They had nothing to eat. One Sunday when they came back from church, they could only pray and wait for the Lord's provision. Suddenly a taxi pulled into the courtyard of the house they were living, and my mom was very, very troubled. Oh, visitors are coming. There's nothing to give. It was one of those moments she wished nobody would visit her. When car comes into your courtyard, you can't say, hey, get lost. You still have to receive them. My mom said she prayed, and my dad opened the door and welcomed the visitor. My mom came to the door, and she realized it's someone who came to visit them from my grandparents' place. So there were visitors from a long distance. And so that would mean surely they are tired, they must be hungry, they must have traveled a long distance for a long time. So that made her even more troubled. Nonetheless, as a Christian, she welcomed them and asked them to take a seat. Suddenly the man said, oh, before I forget, I got some things from your parents. And he went out of the door and opened the car's boot and took out a sack of rice, bananas, and some other stuff. My mom said, I was so relieved. I was so relieved. Now, not only I can give a meal to my visitors, we also have something to eat. And then my mom said, son, when you think troubles are coming, remember this, provisions are also coming with it. You can never tell how the Lord would provide. He is in the wind. He is in the wave. He rides on them, my friends. Those troubles may look so huge and so frightening to our hearts. We think we are going to be doomed by these things. But the Lord rides on it and come by your side. Oh, the divine power. According to his divine power hath given unto us, not just for me, but for all of us who are his children. Things pertain unto godliness as well as life. Some of us struggle with sins that easily beset us. Some of you think that if you're so short-tempered, you can never be a Sunday school teacher or never be a pastor, never be an elder. Yes, that's right. You cannot be a riotous man and be a pastor. You can't be short-tempered or ill-mannered if you want to be an elder. There are qualities that are required, but the way you are, you think you can never change. You know, I at this moment think about myself. When I grew up, my mother used to call me a weaving ant. Don't call me anymore that. It doesn't suit me anymore. The reason why my mom used to call me weaving ant is because I was like a weaving ant. Do you know what is a weaving ant? Well, it's a red ant that normally lives on trees. If you climb the trees where such ants live, they will bite you. And if you think by rubbing they will go off, they will never go off. You have to kill them if they have to let go. I used to be such a young fellow. When I start arguing with my grandparents, I will never give up. They have to give up. Whether I'm right or wrong, I will argue to the end. My mom used to say, oh, it's so hard to tell you something. You never give up. Now, my poor mom, she had to bring me up alone for 5 years because my dad went to Faith Theological Seminary alone, leaving my mother to look after both three of us. So 5 years my mom struggled alone so that her husband can study without disturbance. And she looked after us. It was very tough. Not only three kids, but also to grown-up kids, that's in-laws. You know, when people get older, they are sometimes like children. They rely on those who are capable for everything. So, in fact, my mom had 5 kids in that sense. It was very tough. And then with my behavior, with my ill mannerism and hot-temperedness, she was very troubled. Nonetheless, she used to pray for me. And one thing I used to do is to eavesdrop when she's praying. And sometimes she mentions my name, I'm very happy about it. Oh, my mom prayed for me. But I want to tell you, dear friends, the Lord has changed me a great deal. I'm not saying I don't have anger. Yes, it does come once in a while. But the Lord has changed me. He had helped me to be patient and be forgiving. And I thank God for that change. If He didn't change me, I cannot be a pastor. If I will continue to be an argumentative, stubborn person, I cannot be in the Lord's work. But I thank the Lord that when I trusted Him, He has undertaken to mold me. People could not change my character. Even my parents thought they can't change me. But the Lord molded me with the power of His creative and sanctifying hand. I'm not perfect. The Lord is still working on me. So there are times when I feel I'm weak spiritually. I pray and the Lord enables me. And I believe it's possible with Him, because the promise He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now please take note of the fact that He hath given unto us. In fact, twice this phrase comes in verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, once, given unto us. And if you look at verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. It's given unto us. It's made available. And I just have to receive by faith. I don't pray for these things as though God has not given. I want to pray with faith that it's given to me. And I just have to yield myself in faith and submission so that it may have its full sway over my soul. That I may be taken by these promises, molded by it, and be what I ought to be. If you wish to have a nice bird that sits in the bush, you can't just stand 1 kilometer away or even 50 meters away from the bush and admire it. You may have to get close and take it. How, I do not know. Until you have it, you won't experience it. Or you won't have the beauty of it in your own hands. You know, it's by faith we have these promises. To some, sadly, these promises are like a bird sitting away in a bush. Only to be admired from a distance. But never dare coming near. They will say, what these wonderful promises? What these precious promises? Then brother, why not you change? Why not you be active in the Lord's work? Why not you give your life to the... I'm finding it difficult to make it mine. Oh. Do not fear, do not doubt, it's for you if you have trusted Christ. All of the promises. And you see, the way that you acquire or appropriate these promises to yourself is not by using your own intelligence and wisdom and power, but just trusting, because it is not you who brings about the fulfillment of the promises, but the divine power itself. So don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm weak. I can't have such great promises. I can't have such precious ones. Look, I'm weak. I can't. It's good for others. No, wait. Don't push it away. Trust there, stretching your hands of faith. Say, Lord, I can't have it on my own, but you promise that according to your divine power, you will bring it to me. Now give to me, Lord. Give to me, Lord. And the grace of God urges us to believe. Are you a mother finding it very difficult to be a mother? Are you a wife who is finding it difficult to be a wife? Are you a husband who is finding it difficult to be a husband? Are you an elder who is finding it difficult to be an elder? Are you a pastor who is finding it difficult to be a pastor? Now, we can never fulfill our roles without difficulties. And then God expects us to be in those roles even though we have difficulties. Oh, the promises. They are mine to receive. I can't, but He will. I just want to stand where I am. I want to be where God wants me to be and expect Him to fulfill it for me. You know, through Christ who has called us and through His knowledge, we will acquire or we will obtain glory and virtue. That's the end of that verse, verse 3. Glory and virtue. You know, for Christians, the ultimate goal and aim that God has set for us to receive is glory and virtue. Nothing less than that. The glory of God. The great virtues that God is working into our lives through the Spirit who indwells in us. If you have any sin at all, you should be praying now, Lord, this is not why you saved me, not that I may continue in sin, for thou art gracious, but that I may trust in your grace and pray that I will overcome this sin. And your promise is this, that your divine power will help me, that I may walk toward the glory and virtue. Lord, help me. Help me to overcome. Teach me. Direct me. I again want to bring this to your attention. The divine power gives to us these promises. And these promises has to be viewed as God teaches us to view them. God teaches us to view all these promises as verse 4 says, as exceeding great and precious promises. Two adjectives are used to describe God's promises. What are they? Great and precious. And then there is a superlative, exceeding great and precious. Why did Peter use the word exceeding? Isn't it sufficient to say great and precious? Now I will answer you that question. But before that, I want to dwell a little bit on these two words, great and precious. You see, my friends, there are many things that are great but not precious. A great rock may not be a precious thing. Great wood, that's not necessarily precious. In fact, a lot of things that are precious are not great either. If you find a diamond, if it's very large, it's not so precious. But a small diamond would be a lot more precious. In this world, seldom these two things go together, great and precious. But you see, God's promises, they're great because they are infinite. They are precious because they are divine promises. They can be anything less than great. They can never be less than precious. Now, if you think that's all, Peter says, no, it's more than that. It's exceeding great and precious. Means there will be no time through all eternity that God's promises will ever be weak or less precious. Whatever has come into this world, whatever might have troubled God's people, how much of these promises have been claimed by the saints throughout the ages that gone by, still they all remain still exceedingly great and precious. None of us have to say, oh, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, George Muller, all these great people have already cling on to these promises. Maybe they are weakened, you know, maybe not much left behind. No, sir. No, ma'am. It's still exceedingly great and precious for you and me. And it will be so for our children if the Lord tarries. You have to believe it. We are given these exceeding great and precious promises. Promises, plural. Whatever circumstances you may be, whatever strength, whatever precious gifts you need, the Lord will give them all. I will illustrate it very soon with my own testimony. And then end of verse 4 says that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. By the way, this phrase here, partakers of the divine nature, does not mean that we become God. No. There is a fixed gulf between God and His creation. The Creator and the creature can never be the same. Nonetheless, we are told we will be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? The Lord will help us by His Spirit to reflect His godly nature. Not that we are one in essence with God. Can never be. Though we are not one in essence with God, though we are His creation, in fact, fallen creature, yet the Lord in Christ revive us or renew us and then give us this promise that He will work in us through the promises, a divine nature, sanctifying us. And He explained this way, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Surely, the things that corrupt us, worldliness, materialism, lustfulness, all these things can be put aside. But for that, we must cling on to His great and precious promises. In 1987, the Lord brought me to Firestone Bible College as part of His preparation of my life for the gospel work. When I came to Singapore, that was the first time I ever came out of my own country. Never traveled out of India. And that was my first journey in a plane. And I was all scared. And I was very, very, very fearful. I was only 21 years old at that time. Now I'm 40. 20 years have gone by. And sometimes tell, well, 20 years I lived in India and 20 years I lived in Singapore. Now I'm becoming more and more a Singaporean than Indian. because many of my life has been spent here. But I remember the first day I came to Singapore. Oh, the airport. Wow, I was stunned. I said, wow. The airport is better than many of our houses in India. And I look at the street. Wow! Unbelievable. So clean, so neat. And people are so busy. Nobody has time to look at you. And I was like a lost bubble in the air. You know? Trying to just calm down and stay put somewhere. Man, too many things go through my mind. I can't tell you everything, can I? There won't be time. Came to FEPC, that itself is a tremendous story, from Changi to 9A Gilstead Road. It was all by God's grace I got there. And the life there was very strange also to me. Everything was very different. Even the first roti paratha I ate next day made me vomit. Because it was totally different from the paratha I eat at home. It was very oily here. And I thought I will never adjust. And I grew up in a house that I'm never asked to sweep the floor. But when I came to FEBC, I was asked to sweep the floor, mop the floor. I wrote back to my mom and dad and said, "Dad, mom, I have to sweep the floor, you know. I didn't know I have to do this." So my mom wrote back, "You know, son, it's good to go through tough times when you're young. It will prepare for your ministry." Okay. To accept it. When I was scolded for not doing my duty or not doing as much as the leaders like it to be, I got very angry. I feel like dropping everything and walking away. I feel like showing my anger, you know, the anger that I used to show my mom. You know, the stickiness, never give up attitude. Well, some people say it's very good to have such sort of perseverance, stick to it. But, you know, sometimes it takes a different meaning in life. God's providence has to teach you some of these things. I had to bite my lips, keep quiet, and learn. When I came in 1987, BP Church was going through a tremendous ordeal. And many of the things were happening in Life Church, where I lived. It was about charismaticism and new evangelicalism. And the synod was just about to dissolve. Boy, you cannot imagine what I went through that day. I said, "Oh, I came here to study theology, but here everybody is fighting. And I hear the elders and the pastors shaking and My idea of theology and preaching and pastorship all changed. It had to be changed. It was tough. I cling on to these promises. And at that time I realized, when I enter the ministry, God is going to bring me into a very troublous world. Theology will be an issue. You can't run away from it. Dealing with people of different temperament and different attitude is a must if I want to be a pastor. I cannot expect a bed of roses in the ministry. In fact, I came with the idea ministry will be, you know, I love you, you love me. Yeah, we all love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, brother, don't worry. I will pray for you, you pray for me. We all believe in the same thing, you know. This kind of feeling. It was never to be. I learned one thing. God's words never change. You take whatever the Lord says, whether you see it as a commandment or a historical record or a promise. You see, you can't take God's promise if you doubt God's word. And I learned to trust God's word, every jot and every tittle. And that became my strength. I'm not here to point a finger at our fathers or my lecturers or my principal or the Christians in Singapore. That's not the point. I'm here to tell you, dear friends, no matter which corner of the world you will go, No matter which race you will serve, no matter which language you will preach, everything will tell you only God and His Word will remain the same. All the rest will change. And in such a changing world, in such a changing circumstance, God's servant has to be as solid as he can. I learned one more thing in my life and in my pastoral ministry. When I take the pulpit, when I go to the people as a pastor, and I have to think that everything is depending on me. I have to approach the ministry as though everything is just dependent on me. Nonetheless, I know it's not the case. I can't stand at the pulpit and give the impression that I'm not sure what the Word of God says, you know. I got a bit of doubt about it. According to my scholarly opinion, this is what I think, but according to the scholarly opinion of so-and-so, I don't think that way. I'm a bit confused. Nonetheless, let's go through it. I can't preach like that. I have to say, thus saith the Lord. When somebody is wishy-washy with the spiritual life, I can't say, brother, nice to see you. Carry on, all right? God loves you still. I got to rebuke him and say, change, for the Lord requires you to repent. A pastor has to be a solid and firm person. No matter who pushes him, he cannot change. And the way for him to stand firm is to be one with his God and his promises, his word. Oh, precious promises. They are great indeed. Ministry will also push some of us into great physical need. Money. Well, when you go into ministry, don't talk money. But money will make you talk sometimes. I mean, talk to God. Though my father had many difficulties in early his ministry, somehow, the Lord provided everything. I never gone hungry in my life, unless I chose to be hungry. You know, I was a chemistry student, and we go into the lab at 8 a.m., and if we can't finish our experiment by 12, we will continue with it with a hungry stomach, and go on until 3 or 4. And that way I became hungry a few times. But the moment I come up, I will straight head for some food. But I never had to be hungry because of shortage of money. Somehow the Lord provided. But it was not the case when I gave my life to the Lord. I'm not saying the Lord didn't provide for me. But there were times I was tested to pray and groan for one meal. Even in Singapore. It's a place of plenty. I'm not saying people didn't give me anything. But people didn't know I didn't have meal. I remember Saturdays and Sundays were very difficult days for me at certain period of my student life in FEBC. Very difficult because Monday to Friday we have food in FEBC. Saturday and Sunday we have no food. And I had dread to go through weekends. Not now. I have enough money, thank God. Don't worry about me today. I'm not saying this so you will give me something, all right? No. These were events that I had to go through in my student days. But somebody, a Singaporean student who shared the room with me, noticed my struggle. I never told him. Somehow he observed. He's a member of Pandan BP Church. He's now the Lord's servant. Regularly, he started to leave an envelope on my table for thus. And I think he wrote for thus with his left hand. So I won't guess who it is. Because I kept looking at the handwriting and comparing with the handwriting of my friends. I can't figure it out. And the envelope normally will have $10, that's all. Nothing more than that, just $10. It's a lot to me. It's more than enough to go through 2 days. You see, if I have written to my dad, maybe he would have sent. But in India, they have a policy in those days that you can't send money out. Nowadays, there's much more freedom. And I also didn't want to trouble my dad, so I kept quiet and lived through it. But you see, the Lord provided. I'm not saying this to make you worry about being a full-time servant. I'm saying this to tell you the Lord does provide. He sent His raven in many forms. There were times I had to go through such difficulties after the Lord gave me with sons, two sons. There's one time I came home and my wife said, "Das, no money for milk powder." And my first son, you know, you look at his size. He eats a lot. He drinks a lot of milk. And if I buy one tin of milk powder, he would finish it maybe 2 weeks' time. Maybe shorter than that sometimes. So when my wife said, "Das, no milk powder for him," I was so frightened. I mean, this guy start to cry. You will never want to be around. You know, Peter talks about the hunger of a newborn babe, desiring the sincere milk of the word. No amount of singing can quieten a child who is hungry. You can sing all the 500 songs in the revival hymns, he will still cry. You can tell him, "Son, I'm pastor, you know, God's servant, let me pray." He will still cry. "Where are you going to run?" I'm not kidding. My wife is here. You know what I did? I look around, "Lord, how to make a bit of money quickly. I can't let this guy be hungry." Not too long ago, I bought a set of William Hendrickson's commentary, secondhand. And I took that, immediately went back to FEBC. At that time, I was teaching and also studying. I was doing my MDiv and teaching the undergraduates. And I told the students, "You know, I got this set of commentaries. Anybody wants? It's going for a quarter of its original price." Immediately, there were some rich students. They took it. Praise the Lord, I got about $200. I came back home with a tin of milk powder. Until today, I don't have William Hendrickson. But don't worry, I have other commentaries. Then my second son came. Same scenario happened. And I was so frustrated by then. I remember one day I looked through the window and I saw birds picking up the worms. I told the Lord, "Lord, you taught us to look at the birds. They are eating. What about my son?" I asked the Lord. That evening, somebody knocked at the door. And I said, "Brother, come in." He said, No. "I just came to visit a friend of mine. The Lord want me to come and say hello to you." I said, "Come in. You came and knock at my door. Why don't you come?" "No, I have no time. My wife is waiting in the car downstairs. So I can't stay. I got to go." I said, "All right. It's very amazing. Thank you for coming." Then he stretched his hand and gave me an envelope. He left. I opened up $200 in it. I went down and buy food for my kids. Are you afraid? If you're afraid, it's very terrible. I didn't teach you to be afraid. I'm telling you these stories to tell you the servant of the Lord will be looked after. I never had to beg or borrow to feed my kids. The Lord provided. I want to bring to your attention what Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 22 and close today's sharing. Luke chapter 22, verses 35 to 36. And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "He hath a purse, let him take it, likewise a scrip." And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. My main focus is on verse 35. Nonetheless, that's what he said just prior to his death, before he was taken. Now please focus on verse 35. I know reading verse 36 may cause lots of questions in your mind. I don't have the time to explain, so I'm just going to stick with verse 35. When I send you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? The answer is nothing. If you recall, earlier on, for example, in Matthew 10, Jesus did say, go ye and preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor at staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Sometimes when the Lord calls us, we may have nothing. Providence of God may put us in situation that we may have zero cash. We may have no house. There was a time people used to ask me, Pastor Koshi, where is your house? I say, oh no, I don't have a house. Oh, then people in the church asked me, when are you going to buy a house? I said, I got a house already. Some of them got very angry when I said that I had a house, because I never told them I have a house. So where is that house? I said, it's in heaven. The Lord prepared for me. For 7 years after my marriage, I'm sorry, not 7 years. got that wrong. For about 5 years, I didn't have a house of my own. But today I have one in this world and also in the next world. How did this all happen? I don't know. When I got a house, I didn't even have a CPF to pay for it. How somehow the Lord provided. These are miracles I can never tell in all its wonderment with which God provided. Dear friends, whatever be your need, don't give up. You may be a father, you may be a husband, you may be an elder, you may be a pastor, you may have a certain particular role that God has given and you find it so hard to go through it. Don't give up. Keep trusting. Keep trusting in His promises. They are indeed great, exceeding great, greater than your problems. They are precious, more precious than all your needs, and He will sufficiently provide. So there is no problem that is too big for God to take care of it. There is no need that is so huge that God cannot provide for. Everything He will take care, and His divine power assures us that. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the time we spend. May all Thy servants who have trusted Thee be urged to trust Him more each day. With each new trial and need in life, let our hearts be affixed upon the truth of God's promises. We thank You that Thou art a gracious, compassionate, pitiful Lord, who has pity upon those who are troubled. And may You see our needs continually, because You taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And You will give that even more, that we may experience that glory and virtue in this life and in the life to come through all eternity. We give Thee thanks for being our loving Father who provides all things. In Jesus' name we pray.